Welcome to the July edition of Black Book Talk. This is Patricia Welch, Librarian Emeritus.
With Emma Jackson Ford, Bookwoman, hello.
And O.B. Hill, Community Historian.
This month, we're going to do what we like to do periodically. We're going to share some of the books we're reading or have read and enjoyed in hopes that you'll enjoy them too. So who'd like to go first?
Patricia likes to talk about beach reads. And I call this kind of book a summer read because all the long, lazy days of summer when you have time to relax and read, leave the book, drink some iced tea, and come back to it. Well, I don't know how I missed this book. It's one of Toni Morrison's books that I had not read. I don't know why I overlooked it, but it's a short novel. It's called God Help the Child. By Toni Morrison, and the publisher is Alfred A. Knopf. This short novel grabbed me, and it held me until the story ended. So why I didn't read it before, I don't know. It starts with a mother named Sweetness. Sweetness is narrating in the beginning. She tells us how she had a blue-black child whose presence shocked her because she and her husband or light-skinned blacks. She tells the girl to call her Sweetness, not Mother, because if Mother came out of her mouth, people would be shocked. They just would not believe that she belonged to her. As the girl grows and her story unfolds, we meet a breathtaking creature who is envied by all. Her name changes from Lula Ann to Bride. She is glamorous with lots of money, and she works in the beauty industry. Bride meets a man named Booker who moves in with her and seems to be her soulmate. But one night, after confiding her plans to give a trip, an all-paid trip and a bunch of money to a woman who's getting out of prison, Booker suddenly tells her that she's not the woman he wants, and he leaves abruptly. Bride goes on a journey to find Booker. Her body changes mysteriously. She is a young black girl again and worried that she's that woman, that girl that her mother didn't like and didn't want to touch. It's a short novel. It's complicated, as with all of Toni Morrison's books, but it's worth the read. This book is called God Help the Child. It's by Toni Morrison, and it's published by Alfred A. Knopf.
You know, I've read that book a long time ago. I had actually forgotten the title because Toni Morrison just writes so prolifically. But yes, that was a good book, and it really was a thought-provoking book. Yes. That was a good one. I'm glad you reminded me. I'm going to put that book back on my list of Toni Morrison books that you might want to reread because you probably missed something the first time around.
Yeah, you always miss something the first time around with her.
OB?
I'm reading books that I've read before. Several rereads. Actually, three books whose authors' lives span between 104 and 105 years. And these are accounts of each author about their lives and the positions and situations they find themselves in and the programmatic approach they take to trying to help Black people. In this case, I'm reading Up From Slavery by Booker T. Washington. And Booker T. Washington was born into slavery in 1858 or 1859. He's not exactly sure which year because records wouldn't be, were not being kept at the time. And the next one is The Souls of Black Folks by W.E.B. Du Bois. Du Bois was born in 1868, and he lived until 1963. So that's a 105-year span between the two. And then right in the middle of them is Carter G. Woodson, who came on a little later on. He was born in 1875, and he passed in 1950. Between the three of these, you find all of the programmatic approaches that were taken during this time to assist the sole termed at that time Negro. And we can discuss it a little bit later in more detail.
Okay. Now, I am admittedly the queen of what I call the beach blanket books. Those are the books where you just, you're laying out there in the chair, you got your umbrella, you have a cool drink. I don't care what's in it, just a cool drink. And you have this wonderful book that takes you away. So my first book is going to be in this genre, but it has a little bit more, and that's what I like about it. Okay, the book is called 7 Days in June. And it is about a lovely person named Eva Mercy, who is an author. Eva writes books about vampires. There's a vampire and a witch. Oh, I'm sorry, I should have mentioned, 7 Days in June is by T.I.A. Williams. And it's published by Grand Central Publishers. Okay, but back to it. So Eva she's a single mom. She makes her living writing these novels, these hot, steamy, erotic novels involving a vampire and a witch. Her fan base is primarily white middle-class women who read her books while sipping wine and having a wonderful time, but they are loyal. She's got fan clubs all over the place, come to see her when she comes to town, they buy all her books, and she needs the money. Did I say she was a single mother living in New York? So she's doing fine, so she's invited to sit on a panel. And the other panelists are well-known and read in the Black community. Not that many Black people are reading her book, but she's so excited because she's found her niche, really. You know, she's being very witty and people enjoy her. And she's having a good time until her nemesis, Shane Hall, appears. I love these characters. Should I say that Eva is, of course, lovely and witty and though insecure a tad bit. Basically, she knows she's a bad sister. And Shane is tall, has glorious eyes. He writes a book every few years. They're all bestsellers, but nobody actually sees him. He's a recluse until he comes to the conference. He's seen by their mutual manager, and she insists that he comes to the stage. And even the people who don't know anything about them can see that there is personal magnetism, something is going on. It turns out something went on about 20 some years ago when they were teenagers and they had a week of passion. They were soulmates in many ways. And now they're back together, didn't think they'd ever see each other. And we're all wondering, though we kind of know, what's going to happen. But what I actually appreciate about this book is that it really is about more than hot fun in the summertime. Both of these people have issues. Shane is a recluse and rarely seen because he's usually drunk. And that's not really going to be good for business if he's out in public kind of sloshed and over. He has an issue that he has to address, and he has, which is why he's come looking for her. She suffers with massive migraines. And I mean, the description of what it's like to have chronic debilitating migraines is really eye-opening. He also has a mother who's, I don't know, she's a charming Southern belle, but she's living in her own little fantasy land. Her daughter has had to be the adult always. So really there's some serious issues, but there's a lot of fun. And listening to her talk about her fans who wear velvet hats and whatever, and they're just rabid fans, that is fun to see. The characters are so well developed. This is a very witty novel. So if you want something that's fun and has a touch of reality, but a lot of smoldering looks, men who look fabulous in their jeans and t-shirts, and a lot of brand names thrown in too, then I think that perhaps 7 Days in June by Tia Williams might just be the book for you.
I read a book called Lillian, and I'm actually recommending it. It's an Ntozake Shange book. It was published by St. Martin's Press in 1994. It's one of those books that I'd seen on the shelf, but it didn't call to me for a while. So finally, I thought, let me see what this is about. Lillian is the story of a young Black girl whose father is Judge Lincoln Parnell. Her mother is Sunday Bliss Parnell. Her father is wealthy and her mother is beautiful. They expect her to marry a man who makes dreams happen, someone who is a leader. That confuses Lillian, and she likes a variety of men with different goals in life and different backgrounds. Her mother disappears mysteriously and she's not heard from again. That adds to the confusion in Lillian's life and the longing for the relationship that she had with her mother that's now gone. It's really making her life a lot more complicated. The story of Lillian is told through the voices of her past loves, her old friends, her father, and a cousin. Each chapter has a different character from Lillian's life, and they recall some part or some incident that's happened. Between the chapters, we see Lillian with her psychoanalyst, and her psychoanalyst is talking about some complicated thing, or rather Lillian is talking about some complicated thing in her life, and the psychoanalyst is asking her questions. And then the next chapter is going to give examples of whatever she was talking about. When I first picked up the book, this was not what I expected the book to be about. But if you've read or know anything about Ntozake Shange's work, you know that she is complicated. So her book would be complicated. This is a great summer read. It is called Lillian. It is by Ntozake Shange. It's published by St. Martin's Press.
Allow me to just read a little bit of Up From Slavery. I'll just read a passage or two. Now, this is from chapter one, A Slave Among Slaves. I was born a slave on a plantation in Franklin County, Virginia. I am not quite sure the exact place or exact date of my birth, but at any rate, I suspect I must have been born somewhere and at some time. As near as I have been able to learn, I was born near the Crossroads post office called Haley's Ford, and the year was 1858 or 59. I do not know the month or the date. The earliest impressions I can now recall are of the plantation and the slave quarters, the latter being the part of the plantation where the slaves had their cabins. I'm going to move on to another little passage in the same thing. The cabin was not only our living space, but was also used as the kitchen for the plantation. My mother was the plantation cook. The cabin was without glass windows. It had only openings in the side which let in the light and also a cold, chilly air of winter. There was a door to the cabin, that is something that was called a door, but the uncertain hinges by which it hung and the large cracks in it, to say nothing of the fact that it was so small, it made the room very uncomfortable. And that's Booker T. Washington speaking. Born a slave and up from slavery.
And to say, I don't know when I was born, but I must have been, I was born at some time, at some place. I mean, just to think about what that means when we all have, most of us at least, 99% have birth certificates or whatever. I'm just thinking, as we have just a little while ago celebrated Juneteenth, it's just a reminder, you know, from how far we've come. And also a great reminder of books that we should go back and look at because their message is still relevant. That's for sure. Okay, well, back to fun. My next book is The Fastest Way to Fall. It's by Denise Williams, published by Berkeley Press. This is a book about Britta Colby, who's a writer, and she's working on an article about her experience with FitMe, a fitness app centered around body confidence that pairs its users with coaches. Britta hopes the piece will secure her a promotion at Best Life, which is the lifestyle magazine where she works as an editorial assistant. Enter Wes Lawson, FitMe CEO. Now, Wes may be professionally successful, but his personal life is in shambles. His mother struggles with drug addiction. His estranged sister will only communicate via text. His ex recently launched a rival fitness app. In an attempt to distract himself, Wes personally becomes coach for two new clients. Britta is among them. Their coaching relationship is supposed to stay strictly virtual, but as weeks pass and the pair grow closer, they break the rules and bond over in-person workouts. But their relationship risks FitMe and Wes's credibility, and it could jeopardize Britta's article and her promotion. What I like about this book is, again, it's touching on a subject that is serious. I mean, the book itself is a lot of fun, but the whole issue of body image is a really important one. I want to read just a little bit from the introduction to the book, in which the author says, "I've been fat my entire life, and I spent so much of my time giving others power to dictate what they thought my relationship with my body should be. When the idea for this book came to me, it was the book I needed to read. I started writing the story for myself at 24 when, brokenhearted and freshly dumped, I feared no one would find me attractive again. I wrote it for me on my wedding day when I was at my biggest and had never felt or looked better. I wrote it for the me of 27 who became enamored with what her body was capable of, and the me of today who keeps meaning to get back on the treadmill. I wrote it for the me of tomorrow who might need a reminder that she's strong and beautiful." I appreciated the fact that this wasn't a book where the woman miraculously dumped 100 pounds and became attracted to this man. The man was attracted to her because of who she was. He was attracted to just her enjoyment, you know, of being healthy and exercise, and that's something they shared. But it took her a while to understand this. Again, it's ultimately a summer romance, but it's a summer romance with some thought-provoking parts to it. So I certainly recommend for those who, again, want to lay out on the beach, on their balcony, on their couch, and read a fun book, The Fastest Way to Fall by Denise Williams, published by Berkeley Press.
Usually, I talk about books. A lot of times I talk about books for young people. But I want to recommend books on tape for young people. I think books on tape are an amazing miracle in life. I want to recommend books on tape because recently my granddaughter came to visit. And her mother had told her to read a classic during the week. And she was dragging her feet. She wasn't picking up the book. So I downloaded it and I turned it on in the kitchen so we could both hear it. So each day we'd listen to the book and we both enjoyed it immensely. It got me to thinking about not so long ago, well, a few years ago, we had an author for a guest. He was a Newbery Award winning author, and his name was Kwame Alexander. He wrote a book called The Crossover. He writes in prose. And I was thinking how wonderful it would be to hear that book on tape. written the way the author wrote it to be read. And so I looked it up, and it's on tape, and it sounds wonderful. I thought, what better treat for a young person to hear a reader reading it the way it was supposed to sound when he does the boys. There are twin boys, there's a dad, there's friends, and he does their voices. This book is about basketball, friends, parents, and a young crush. We're going to listen to an excerpt on tape from the book today. I hope you will enjoy it as much as I do, and I hope you will think about it as a gift for young people.
Dribbling. At the top of the key, I'm moving and grooving. Popping and rocking, why you bumping, why you locking? Man, take this thumping. Be careful though, cause now I'm crunking. Crisscrossing, flossing, flipping through my dipping will leave you slipping on the floor while I swoop in to the finish with a fierce finger roll straight in the hole. Swoosh. Josh Bell is my name, but Filthy McNasty is my claim to fame. Folks call me that cause my game's acclaimed. So downright dirty, it'll put you to shame. My hair is long, my height's tall. See, I'm the next Kevin Durant, LeBron, and Chris Paul. Remember the greats, my dad likes to gloat. I balled with Magic and the GOAT. But tricks are for kids, I reply. Don't need your pets, my game's so fly. Mom says, your dad's old school like an old Chevette. You're fresh and new like a red Corvette. Your game's so sweet, it's a crepe Suzette. Each time you play, it's all net. If anyone else called me fresh and sweet, I'd burn mad as a flame. But I know she's only talking about my game. See, when I play ball, I'm on fire. When I shoot, I inspire. The hoop's for sale, and I'm the buyer. How I got my nickname. I'm not that big on jazz music, but Dad is. One day, we were listening to a CD of a musician named Horace Silver, and Dad says, Josh, this cat is the real deal. Listen to that piano, fast and free, just like you and JB on the court. It's okay, I guess, Dad. Okay? Did you say okay? Boy, you better recognize greatness when you hear it. Horace Silver is one of the hippest. If you shoot half as good as he jams. Dad, no one says hippest anymore. Well, they ought to, because this cat is so hip, when he sits down, he's still standing, he says. Real funny, Dad. You know what, Josh? What, Dad? I'm dedicating this next song to you. What's the next song? Only the best song. The funkiest song on Silver Paris Blues album. Filthy McNasty. At first, I didn't like the name because so many kids made fun of me on the school bus, at lunch, in the bathroom. Even Mom had jokes. It fits you perfectly, Josh, she said. You never clean your closet, and that bed of yours is always filled with cookie crumbs and candy wrappers. It's just plain nasty, son. But as I got older and started getting game, the name took on a new meaning. And even though I wasn't into all that jazz, every time I'd score, rebound, or steal a ball, Dad would jump up, smiling and screaming. That's my boy out there. Keep it funky, Filthy. And that made me feel real good about my nickname.
We were listening to an excerpt from Kwame Alexander's book, The Crossover.
I think that's a great advertisement for being read to, whether certainly on tape, but just the joy of somebody listening to somebody read to you. So I think a lot of adults will enjoy hearing that too.
That's why I call it a great miracle. I love the idea of someone reading to me like that.
Yes, it's wonderful. Mr. Hill.
I've been given the opportunity to implement a reading circle on a monthly basis on the second Thursday of each month. And the opportunity was provided by the Soul Restoration Center, the former old Albino Arts Center down located at 14 Northeast Killingsworth. And from 4 to 5:30 on the second Thursday of each month, we go over books. Some of the books, are the ones we discuss here on Black Book Talk. And then in addition, we also recommend others. And I want to really congratulate both of you for all the hard work that's been going into Black Book Talk on KBO over a couple of decades, I guess. So the next time I get there in July, I'd like to invite you either to recommend a book and I can go and see that they're distributed to the readers there for the next couple of sessions after that.
Thank you, Obi. You have to congratulate yourself because we've all been in this together. That is for sure. I have attended two of the sessions at the Soul Restoration Center, and it's just one, that location is such a lovely place to be. And OB, you are such a good coordinator. I mean, you give such history, you put everything in such context. And the last time, just seeing all the newspapers, I mean, it's like a total literary experience. So I thank you for doing this.
In addition to that, the books are there for you when you come for the book circle.
Yes. And the environment is just, oh my gosh. You just walk into a lovely Black cultural experience, and it is a soul restoration center. There's just so much art around there that it calms you down, it slows you down, because you just want to enjoy what's there. So thank you again for having that. We hope that, if there's anybody out there that has a book that they think is worth sharing, we're about at the end of the program, but call it in. And if you call it in for us or send an email, they'll let us know and maybe we can mention it next month. That's about it for today. The only other book I had is not really a beach book. Well, but there are some beach book aspects to it. And that is Gathering Blossoms Under Fire, The Journals of Alice Walker, edited by Valerie Boyd. I mean, just think about it. You're reading or listening to Alice Walker's journal. Now think about what you put in your journal. I don't know that I would share everything that's in my journal, but Alice Walker is a courageous woman. So if you want to know what Alice Walker was really thinking about, this may be your book, Gathering Blossoms Under Fire, The Journals of Alice Walker. That's my last one for the day. So I am Patricia Welch, Librarian Emeritus, saying farewell and have a wonderful July.
Oh, enjoy your summer reads. We'll see you in August.
And I say, let's keep reading, walking, and talking. Peace and love.
Oh, your daddy's rich, and your ma is good looking.